Welcome to another inspirational message from Northwest Church. We pray this message encourages and inspires you. If you would like any more information on what your next step may be, please visit our website at northwestchurch.com.au.
Welcome to church this morning. And I am Bron, as Mikey said. I'm a senior pastor here, Mikey, just so you know. That's what you're... and Daz and I are the senior pastors here, if we haven't met you before. Welcome. It's good to see you. I'd really like to welcome you. If you don't have air conditioning at home, you are welcome to stay here for as long as you like. If you want to go home and grab something to do and come back, grab your lunch across at Coles and come back, you're more than welcome to spend what is supposed to be one of the hottest days in Tamworth on record here today if you don't have air conditioning at home. So please feel free to do that. Also, how is everyone going with their fasting, those who have decided to fast? We're into week one of the fast, already hearing amazing stories about that. Someone that shared that something that they used every night to cope in their life, they decided to fast that. Huge move. And God is supplying and making up the lack of that. So we praise God. We thank God that that's what He does. For me, it's been okay. It's been hard for me personally, but even harder by the fact that I share an office with Mikey, who every second of the day is, "This is hard! This is so hard!" So that's a blessing to my life. Right, apparently. Yeah. Okay, that's good. Well, we're going to talk about this morning something that is a fundamental of the Christian faith, and that's prayer. I read on a health website this week that there are 10 major health benefits to our own life of prayer. They are a better sense of self. A study of the University of Columbia found that prayer actually helps us be more self-aware, and it helps reduce our ego and increase our humility. That actually it's good for our heart, that praying regulates our heartbeat, causing less stress on it and also causing it to be stronger. It also aids in heart attack recovery and heart surgery recovery. It increases our lifespan. People who pray, the studies have shown that they actually live longer because they're not as susceptible to the negative environmental factors that come against our life, and also they're less susceptible to stress. It improves our attitude, helps us have a healthy attitude in our life. Number five is forgiveness. Prayer helps us gain forgiveness, which actually helps us to move on with our lives. Number six, prayer gives us hope. This is a secular study shown about people who pray. Prayer gives us hope. Seven, prayer reduces stress. Number eight, prayer helps us have a stronger mindset. Number nine, prayer aids in recovery from operations and diseases. And number 10, prayer helps us to have a positive outlook on life. 10 major health benefits as shown on a health website. Isn't that incredible? That's amazing. It's so good. And if I were to stop there this morning, we could say, well, that's a really great motivational talk. We can go home. We'd feel like, well, I want to live a better life, so I'm going to go home and pray. But you haven't come to a motivational seminar this morning. You've come to church. And you haven't come to hear about the health benefits of prayer. And you haven't come to hear a motivational speaker. You've come to hear from the Word of God, which says that it will accomplish what it sets out to accomplish. You've come to hear that. And you're not aiming to go home and live a better life. You're aiming to go home this morning and live a transformed life according to the Word of God. You're not here to hear me speak, a motivational speaker, and for me to run my, go doing high fives down the aisles and can we do it? Yes, we can. Nothing like that. And plus, I'd have to stop talking because I can't run and talk at the same time. But also, you haven't come for that. You haven't come to pray and in the hope that somebody somewhere in the cosmos might hear it. But if they don't, that's okay because I'm still going to get health benefits. Now, you've come to hear about prayer to the God of heaven and earth, who has supernatural power and miracles at His disposal, who says that He will go to work and war on our behalf when we pray, who says that He will not only take our needs into account, but then whole needs of the universe. We've come to pray to that God. And I think that if you would acknowledge that if that's the case, then this year we want to go from strength to strength in prayer. We've dedicated these 21 days to prayer and fasting. And perhaps prayer hasn't been a major part of your life, or perhaps it has. But regardless, we all want to go from strength to strength in prayer this year. So prayer's amazing. But there's a problem with prayer. And maybe this problem with prayer has caused you to stop praying. Maybe this problem with prayer has caused your prayers to change dramatically. Maybe this problem with prayer has caused you to pray because you know you should, but not out of a deep desire in your heart. And that's the problem, that prayers don't always get answered, do they? Our prayers don't always get answered. Now, there's smaller problems with prayer as well. There's problems that aren't that big. Like, for example, we get distracted. I'm a thinker. It's busy up here. I'm thinking all the time. I think it's mainly due to my huge brain. But we're just thinking all the time. I'm thinking all the time. I'm constantly thinking. When I lay my head down on my pillow, my mind still goes and goes and goes. I have to practice stillness and peacefulness. And I think all the time. So when I sit down to pray, I start with the best of intentions. And I'm like, God, I love you. Thank you for your amazing love, God. You are incredible. Look, a butterfly. Oh, the butterfly effect. That's weird, isn't it? Like in the Amazon, when a butterfly flaps its wings, that it creates a tidal wave in the Pacific. Australia's never had a tidal wave. Global warming. I wonder if we ever will have a tidal wave. Do you think Tamworth will ever get a beach? Is that okay to hope for Tamworth to get a beach? Like, how many people would that... God, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I was praying, wasn't I? Where were we? Do I pray for us to... Do I pray for us to get a beach? No. My mind just goes. And maybe you're the same. Maybe you just get distracted when you pray. And that can be solved with simple things like I journal. I write stuff down because that keeps me focused and I can journal stuff. Those little problems are sometimes easily fixed. But there are bigger problems like our experience. When we've prayed and we've believed and we've hoped with everything within us and nothing's changed, that can become a bigger problem. And then there are problems like human logic, where I was in my Connect group many years ago and my friend said, I've got a problem with prayer. And she said, if I pray, God may intervene or he may not. And if I don't pray, God may intervene or he may not. So why would I pray? You know, I'm the pastor in the room. I'm supposed to have answers to those questions. And so that's when I generally just give like a really knowing look and like a look that conveys, yeah, I used to struggle with those kind of things as well. And like, has anyone else in the group ever struggled with that? Connect group leaders, take that home, that you can use that. But really, that's a good point, isn't it? What do we do with that? That's a good point, that human logic problem. And then we have these amazing passages on prayer that I just love. John chapter 14. John 14, verse 13 to 14 says this. It says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. Again, over in John chapter 15 and verse 16, it says this. It says, then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. John chapter 16 and verse 23. It says, in that day you will no longer ask me anything. I tell the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Also in a different passage in Matthew, or in Mark chapter 11, 24, I think it's on the screen, maybe, probably not. Mark 11, 24 says, and it's Jesus talking. Let me just find it. It says, got it. Thank you. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Believe that you've received it and it will be yours. And Matthew chapter 21 and verse 22, his version of this same account, is it says that if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. And maybe you've applied those scriptures in your life. And maybe you've prayed through something and you've gone, God, I'm claiming these in my life. I believe this over my life. I raise my faith to you, God. And yet you've prayed them for a relative and that relative hasn't been healed, or you've asked for that job and you didn't get it and you're still struggling to make ends meet financially, and what you applied to your life just did not happen the way that you thought it would. You're like, God, I believed. I asked in your name. How does this come about? What is the go? Well, the church's response sometimes has been, well, maybe you just didn't have enough faith, which stabs us with a feeling of inadequacy. Oh, I wasn't good enough. And it reminds me of my daughter Kate this week. All our kids have decided to do a fast of some description. And Katie has decided, our 9-year-old, to do afternoon tea. I don't know if you remember going to school and coming home. Like, I would gnaw on the bricks when I got home. I was so hungry. But Kate decided, and I said, sweetie, are you sure? You're so hungry after school. No, Mum, I can do that. I want to do that. And I said, okay, no worries, darling. And she came in she's been coming in because she's getting bitten by mozzies in the night. Our whole family, no one gets bitten except for Kate. And she actually comes up with welts. So it's really disappointing that she's the one. So we changed rooms because night after night she was coming in. She ended up in bed with me all those nights. Daz ended up in her bed. Her knees are in my back. So we're trying to find solutions. One of them was that we put her in Lockie's room and put her on the bottom bunk, put Lockie on the top bunk in just his boxes, like as an offering to the Mozzies, like eat this flesh, drink this blood, and just leave this little one alone, please. But no, didn't work. Kate came in at 3 a.m. that morning and went, "Mum, the Mozzies." Lockie's like, "Fine." But Kate's, she said, "I can hear a bee buzzing around my head." I said, "Kate, you know, that's what Mozzies sound like." She said, "Mum, why are the Mozzies just getting me?" And I said, "Oh, sweetie, the Mozzies just love you." And she started crying. She said, "No, Mum, I think I know why it is. It's because I've been so hungry in the afternoon that I've been eating my nerds." So she's so hungry that she's found her little stash of lollies in a cupboard, like on the nerds. And this is a double offence in our house because she's broken a fast. But not only that, we're not allowed to have sugar Monday to Friday. So I think it's because I ate my nerds. That's why the Mozzies are coming. And she put a little head on my shoulder and cried. I said, "Darling, what are you fasting for?" And she said, "I'm fasting that Doug will be good." Doug's our dog. And I want to get better at swimming. I said, "Okay, darling." I said, "Why do you want Doug to get better?" "So that you don't put him down." So she broke her fast. And if Doug's naughty and he gets put down, that's on her. But you know what? Sometimes we live our Christian life this way. Like, "God, you didn't answer my prayer. Did I do something wrong? Was it something that I did that caused you to be displeased with me? Is that why you're not answering my prayer?" And you know, this is what got the ancients into so much trouble who worshipped different gods. Because in those days, they would sacrifice to the god. They'd say, "Okay, God, these false gods, you can have part of the harvest." And these false gods, of course, did have no control over the situation. And so maybe the harvest would be good the next year. And so they would give more. If he was pleased with that, surely he'll be pleased with this. But also, if the harvest was bad, then, well, he wasn't pleased enough with that, so we have to give him more. So it was always more, more, more. What can I do for you, false god? What can I do for you? And eventually it got to the point where they were sacrificing their children in the fire to these false gods because they just didn't know when to stop. They didn't know when enough was enough. And sometimes, though we see that as for what it is and crazy, we have that same attitude in our own life where we say, "God, I wanted my prayer answered. You didn't answer it. Is it something that I've done? Is it because of me?" And we look at it. Well, we need to look at these passages and recognize that they say, "In Jesus' name." In Jesus' name. McLaren says that in a prayer that is reeking with self-will from beginning to end, does it become hallowed? Does it become holy simply because we add as a charm at the end, "In Jesus' name, amen"? What he's saying essentially is, if we're praying for ourselves and we're asking for all these things for ourselves and simply put, "In Jesus' name, amen," at the end, do we then all of a sudden go, "Well, that must be what you require, God, because you say whatever you ask in my name that I will fulfill it"? We kind of know that, of course, that doesn't really work. Like, "In Jesus' name" is not the abracadabra of prayer life. That can't be the case. And we kind of go, "Oh, yeah, maybe I've done that a few times, God. I'm sorry about that." But what about if our prayers are not reeking with self-will? What if they seem good? What if they seem just normal and logical things that God would want to answer and we say "In Jesus' name" and they still don't come to pass? What do we do about that? Well, the scholar Ellicott says that we have to recognize the width and the limitation of these passages. The width is you can ask anything. You can ask anything at all of the Lord of heaven and earth. Whatever you want to ask, you go for it. But the limitation is "In Jesus' name." That actually is the limitation on your prayer. Why? Because "In Jesus' name" is not only talking about what you say at the end, it's saying that you are submitting your will to what Jesus' will is. "In Jesus' name" is prayers that you're praying in his name for his glory. Prayers that you pray in Jesus' name are like the church credit card. I have a church credit card. We just took up the giving and pretty much that all goes onto my church credit card. And on Sunday nights, I just lie awake thinking of ways to spend it on a Monday morning. That's not true. Don't gasp with horror. That's not true at all. I actually have no control over the finance whatsoever. I do have a card that I'm allowed to use for church expenses. If I use that card in the church's name, it needs to line up with what the church wants. If the church wants to purchase something, then I have to align what I want to purchase with what the church wants to purchase in order to get it. If I get something that's just what I want, then I have to account for that to someone at a later time and pay that back. If I use the church card, I have to use it for church purposes. I have to align what I want to do with what the church wants to do. And if you're in business, you know that that's the case. You know that heaps of people have gotten in heaps of trouble for using their card for their own purposes. If we say in Jesus' name, we're essentially saying, Jesus, I submit my will to what you want. I want to submit to the way that you want me to live. We submit our will. It's indicative and reminiscent of the kind of prayer that Jesus prayed in the garden, where he got down on his hands and knees and he said, I don't want to do this. He was about to go to the cross. He said, I don't want to do this, God. It's hard. It's going to be awful. It is going to be painful. I don't want to do it. But God, if you don't not want me to do it, then I'll do it. He said, not my will, God, but yours be done. And when we pray in Jesus' name, that's the kind of attitude that we're supposed to be praying with. When we say in Jesus' name, we're saying, look, these are the things that I want, but God, if they don't line up with what you want, then please don't bring them to pass, because I'm praying in your name, so I'm praying after your pattern. There's a theologian called Benson. I want you to read you what he says. He's talking about temporal blessings. He says that temporal blessings are okay to ask for, absolutely. But if we're praying in Jesus' name and we're getting after that pattern, he says that we're praying them conditionally, conditional on that they're his will as well. We're praying them with entire resignation. We're saying, even though these are the things that I want, God, I'm resigned to that. You might not want them for my life, and I'm okay with that. Entire resignation. He says that the kind of person that prays for their blessings like that, that they're resigned to God's will like that, he says, though many wishes be unanswered, though many weak petitions be unfulfilled, though many desires unsatisfied, the essential spirit of the prayer will be answered. And his will being done in us and on us, our wishes will acquiesce in it, which means line up with it, and we want nothing else besides. If we will pray truly in Jesus' name, that's what we're saying. God, your will lined up in me, worked in me, and I want none of my desires if they're outside of your will. Now, I know that there are some desires that are just good desires to have. They might be great, and they're okay to pray for too, because God desires to bless us and to give us a great life, and we can pray for those. But this is talking about the fundamental way that we approach prayer in Jesus' name. It says, to them, so someone who can line up their will so much like that with God's, and that's all they want, to them who can thus pray in Christ's name in the deepest sense, and after Christ's pattern, every door in God's treasure house flies open, and he may take as much of the treasure as he desires. The master bends lovingly over such a soul and looks to him in the eyes and with outstretched hand says, what wilt thou that I might give to thee? Be it even unto thee as you have asked. What he's saying is, if we'll line up our will to God's and we say we want nothing, Lord, that's outside of your plan for my life and your desire for my life, I want to condition it on that if this isn't for your glory and people's good, that I don't need it. If we'll line up like that, then God says, your desires are my desires anyway. I will give them to you freely and gladly. Jesus' name, submitting our will to his. We're saying that your ways are higher than my ways, God. You're saying that you see the whole picture and I just see a snippet. You're saying that you know the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. And we can read things like Ephesians where it says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask, think or imagine according to his mighty power at work in us, we can then say, well, God, I want to ask you for this. I want to think for this. I want to imagine for this. But if it's not in your will, if it's not for your glory and for people's good, then don't worry about it. And God, if it's not, if you've got something better planned than what I've just asked for, let's just go with that. I'm so ready for a no here, God, because I believe that your will is all that matters and that my will is a human will that lacks understanding that you have. Can we do that? I know that I'm not there yet. I know that I'm certainly not there yet. And that's why we need God and the Holy Spirit to come and do work in our hearts to get us out of ourselves. Okay, well, let's move on to praying. Because you might say, I don't really know how to start praying, Bron. I don't really know if my prayers are how you're supposed to pray. We know that the Bible says, that Jesus says, you would have heard this at a wedding or a funeral. Our Father in heaven, your name is holy. This is a modern translation. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. I want to just give you a really simple kind of acronym for prayer that I read about a decade ago when I was struggling to pray. I read it in a book by Bill Hybels called Too Busy Not to Pray. And if we want to go from strength to strength in prayer this year, we need to ensure that these facets are in our prayer life. And the acronym is ACTS, A-C-T-S, if you're taking notes, ACTS. And ACTS is it stands for adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Number one, adoration. Adoration says that I'm going to start with God. I could start talking about the things that I need and the things in my life that I'm worried about, and that would be okay. But instead, I'm going to choose to start with God. I'm going to glorify your name, God. I'm going to declare that you are holy. I'm going to declare that you are perfect. I'm going to lift my perspective to yours, God, and understand that actually it's not dependent on me, it's dependent on you. That God, you are above all and in all and through all, and that if I just start with me, then I'm missing out. Adoration, starting with adoration, declaring who God is, reminding yourself of his love for you. God, you love me. God, you laid down your life for me. Declaring the truth of who he is lifts our perspective. And if we start our prayer life with that, we're starting off on a great footing. C is confession. Confession. 1 John 1, 9 says that if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. Confession. Confession keeps us in that place of humility. Confession says, oh, I can give grace because I've received so much grace. We read in the Lord's Prayer just then that it said, forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. It shows this relationship that says, I'll forgive because I've been forgiven. How can I not forgive when I've been forgiven so much? It reminds us of our humanity and who we are. Confession is a vital part of our prayer life. T, thanksgiving. So many passages in the Bible talk about, they kind of add even as an addendum, with thanksgiving. We're talking about prayer, but with thanksgiving. You know, count his blessings. Forget not all his benefits. Make sure that you're thanking God in your prayer life. Thank you, Lord, for the air conditioning today. Thank you, Lord, for roofs over our head, Lord. Thank you for jobs, God. Thank you for health, God. Thank you for family, Lord. Thank God for the things in your life. Don't just start with what you need, but thank him. And that actually lifts your faith as well. And finally, so we've got adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and then supplication. Supplication is simply asking God for what you need. Don't be afraid to do that. Ask God for what you need. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 to 8, it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Don't be afraid to ask him what you want. But bearing that in mind, let's lift the level of our prayers. You know, sometimes we pray for ourselves and for our needs, and there are bigger prayers to be prayed. I'm not saying stop doing that. That's vital because Jesus cares about you and every facet of your life. But there are bigger prayers to be prayed. And we need to lift our sights and lift our eyes. Do you know that we have the ability to affect the political environment of our nation? That's what the Bible says, that actually we should pray for our leaders. We have the ability to affect the spiritual atmosphere of our homes. We have the ability to affect the spiritual atmosphere of this church. If we will start with that, not my will but yours be done, God. If we'll start there and pray in Jesus' name to that end, we'll be able to say, God, if it's not your will, I don't want it. And if you've got something better, let's go with that. But out of my limited understanding, this is what I'm praying for today, Lord God. Andrew Murray says this, faith in a prayer-hearing God will make a prayer-loving Christian. Do you believe that he hears you this morning? Maybe your experience has told you God doesn't hear you or he doesn't like you. I want to just smash that in your life today from the Word of God. Maybe our thinking needs realigning. Maybe we need to remember that he knows the end from the beginning and that actually he has the full picture and our best interests at heart, so that might result in a no sometimes. But let's never forget that he is a prayer-answering God and he hears us. Ian Bounds says this, that talking to men for God is a great thing. So doing what I'm doing right now, that's a great thing. But talking to God for men, that's greater still. So if you look at someone preaching and you think that's a viable and great and wonderful thing to do for the Lord, just remember that at your disposal is something even greater, even more spiritual, even more holy, that actually you can go home today and talk to God for men. And that tomorrow at 6:30 in the morning when we have our women's prayer meeting here at church, which the prayer meetings all across the week, 7 days a week, have been going off, by the way, women's prayer meeting tomorrow here at church, you can come to that and engage in something that is so much more spiritual than what I'm doing right now. Yeah, sure, I'm talking to men for God, but to talk to God for men, that's even better and even greater thing to do. Oswald Chambers says, prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. Let's be inspired not to pray small, our life-only prayers. You know, my granddad, he turned 94 on Friday, just a couple of weeks before. He was out on the mini bike, rounding up sheep, going out chipping burrs. He turned 94 on Friday, found out on Saturday that he has 3 to 5 days to live. He's got bowel cancer. And he's had a great life. He's got 6 children and 20 grandchildren, and only one of those 20 grandchildren is not serving God. He has got in that group of his family, there are 14 pastors, and he prayed every day of his life for those children and those grandchildren by name. He sat around with us, I think it was on his 80th birthday, and he thanked God for being able to live a life so long. And he looked around and he said at all his children and grandchildren, we were down in Sydney, and he said, I'm not famous. The world's not going to remember me. I go out with no money and a little bit of debt, but this is my inheritance. He said, I've left something behind far greater than I ever thought possible, in that I have left a godly inheritance for my children and my grandchildren. And every day, he and Nan, when he'd come back from the farm work and they'd sit down to lunch, they would pray for every one of their children and grandchildren by name. And if they knew their specific needs, they'd pray through those. His legacy is far beyond what most people could imagine. And why? Because he chose not to just pray prayers that affected him in the farm. He prayed prayers that made massive changes in people's lives. And can we trust that that's what our prayers are doing? Can we raise our faith to believe that that's what our prayer does in people's lives? Your prayers are powerful. Murray, again, says, we must begin to believe that God, in the mystery of prayer, has entrusted us with a force that can move the heavenly world and can bring its power down to earth. How will your prayers change if you can grab hold of that truth, that actually you're moving things in the heavenly world and bringing its power down to earth? How will things change in your prayer life? And Spurgeon, last quote, says this, if sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. If they will perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees. Let no one go there unwarned and unprayed for. How much are we making the lost, those who don't know God, a part of our prayer life? How much are we saying to God, God, open my eyes that I might see people that need you, see people that are available and open to receive your gospel, your good news, God. God has given us amazing privileges in prayer, that we can affect nations, that we can affect people's lives for the better. And know that unless it's according to his glory and for people's good, that he's not going to answer them anyway. There's nothing to be lost by praying, and there's so, so much to be gained. Ephesians 6:18 says this. It says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Even if we don't know what to pray for, God has given us a prayer language, a heavenly language. And if you want to know more about that, feel free to come and see me after the service. But he's even given us, if you're a Christian, he's given you the ability to pray in a heavenly language when you don't even know what to pray. So finally, I want to take you to the most important prayer that you can ever pray in your life and that we never graduate from praying. So let's come to our feet because we're about to finish. This is the ultimate prayer. Apart from Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, and praying for various people on the cross, this is the last prayer that Jesus prayed. You might know it. He said, I want this for my life, but Father, not my will, but yours be done in my life. And I want us to take a moment, if the whole team can come, I want us to take a moment in worship today. We've got time. And maybe God just needs to do a little bit of business with you this morning. Maybe there's parts of your life that you haven't surrendered to God, and you need to this morning just say simply, God, will you help me with me? Will you help me surrender to you? But first of all, before we sing, I want to ask you all to give people that have never prayed this prayer before to surrender their life to God. I want to give them the opportunity to pray this maybe for the first time or the first time in a long time. So let's give them privacy this morning by closing our eyes. I'm going to leave mine open to know who I'm praying for. But let's close our eyes and bow our heads to give people privacy to consider this moment and the gravity of this moment. We've just been talking about prayer, and maybe you've come to church thinking, that's probably what I expected. I expected us to talk about prayer this morning. That's a thing that I know that Christians do. But maybe you didn't anticipate coming and praying this morning. Maybe you didn't anticipate that actually God wants you to pray a prayer of surrender to Him. A prayer that says, Jesus, I'm sick of going my own way. I want to go your way. I want to make you the King and the Lord of my life. I accept what you've done on the cross for me, and I surrender my life to you. Maybe there's something in your heart this morning that's welling up that's saying, I want to pray that prayer. And if that's you, and if you feel ready to surrender your life to Christ, I want to ask you simply, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, to let people have their privacy this morning, if you would just simply raise your hand and say, yep, God, I want to pray that prayer. I want to surrender my life to you. And if that's you, I'm going to count to three, and I just ask that you'd raise your hand. One, two, three. Great. Great. There's two people over here. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Is there anyone else this morning that wants to raise their hand and say, yes, I'm ready to surrender my life to Jesus. I've been coming to church for a little while or for a long while, and I'm ready to give my life over. In the middle here, thank you so much. Just while everyone's still got their eyes closed, is there anyone else this morning? We're not going to prolong this moment. Awesome. Yeah, I see that hand over on the side. Thank you, sir. You can put your hand down. And over here as well. So good, you guys. All right. Well, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I don't want to die without living for you. And in living for you, I will live forever. Thank you, Jesus, for making a way for me to know you. Help me in this decision, Lord. It's awesome. We're going to celebrate with those people. Can we just celebrate right now? Just take a pause. You've just made a life-changing decision. You've surrendered your life to Jesus, and He's now with you, and He's in you, and He knows you. There's going to be hosts up the back at the end of the service that are going to have these just lifted in the air. And what I'd love is if you, they're just Bibles that are written. Even if you've got a Bible at home, feel free to just go and grab it. Actually, just go grab one. It's really well written, easy to read. And in there is a decision card just to say, today I gave my life to Jesus. And it helps you to take a next step in your journey so that you're not doing this alone. Now, for all of us, this is not a prayer that we get away from, not my will but yours be done, because there's something sneaky about our will and that it keeps coming back and keeps raising its head every single day, every single moment sometimes of our life. And so maybe today, right now, for you, you just need to surrender afresh. And actually, maybe if you don't even think you need to, I'd say we all need to. And so we're going to take a moment in worship now. We're going to surrender our lives afresh to God. You know, when people raise their hands, that's all that means. It's just, I surrender. That's a universal sign of surrender. They're just saying, God, I surrender to you. Not my will, but yours be done. I trust you. And so right now in worship, let's take this opportunity to surrender to God.
Hey again, thanks so much for joining us on this podcast. Whether you are new and exploring faith or a follower of Jesus, there is a next step for you. There is always room to grow, more to be done, destiny to be pursued, and people to be reached. So what's your next step? To find out, head over to northwestchurch.com.au. And thanks again for listening.